Tonight I want us to look at, in focusing on our calling, that we are called to belong. Now, when God created us, you remember he looks and he looks at Adam and he said, no, it's not going to work being alone. So he created then Eve, and the two started trouble from that point on. But from the focus of God for the human race, his focus is on that we have to be together in order to be able to promote his kingdom. Each one of us playing our part in our individual calling. One particular calling does not represent Christ. Folks, the church as a whole represents Christ, but one particular calling, I'll say, if I have a calling and the ability to go behind bars and deal with the hardest core criminals in the country, not everybody has that particular calling. But you need the church body with all the individual callings to be able to promote the full truth of who Christ is. That's why we have to be complete as a body. Hebrews 2, verse 10. God is the one who made all things, and all things are for his glory. He wanted to have many children share his glory. So remember, we are the seed of Jesus Christ. The church, we happen to be the family of God. We happen to be the brothers and sisters of Jesus. Jesus kept telling his disciples that and all who heard him. Jesus kept looking at the disciples, and remember again, look at the different personalities and his just his disciples that he loved and dealt with. You remember something? At no point or nowhere will you ever read that Jesus did not love Judas Iscariot. No point ever. His love was extended to every type of personality. The only way that an individual could be separated from that love was to refuse or refuse to accept that Christ is God. The unpardonable sin, as we would say, to die not believing that Jesus is who he says he is. Now, each of us being called to belong, that simply means we call to belong to God. It's our calling. First of all, I belong to God. First of all, each one in here belongs to God, all those listening. So if as we belong to God individually, God then puts together, it is God who calls people to the churches. It is God who puts the church together. And it is God who says, okay, this is the fellowship I want here. Do we not flock together, the birds of a feather, but do we not want to get around people, other Christians, that we can better relate to? There are Christians in every area of life, in every area of the world. And those Christians then seek other Christians who are more like them, or that they are more comfortable with in presenting the gospel. Thus, you have all of the different Christian denominations, which I'm not against and don't get into that stuff, simply because a person goes and the groups are formed to where they can best take the message of Christ. And that particular fellowship is called a particular church. This is a church fellowship. Remember again what a fellowship is, though. For us Baptists, we always think about the eating part. But the true definition of fellowship in Scripture deals with, if I'm going to fellowship with you, then that means I agree to take on the pain. I agree to take on the good, the bad, and the ugly of life. The true fellowship is the Christians serving Christ together and the Christians serving each other. We are servants of Christ. And the Lord showed us when we serve others, then we glorify Him. When we become the servants that truly serve. Again, it gets back, you got to watch out all the titles that are given within a church. Christ was not interested in the titles. He was interested in the ministry being taken care of. The second purpose of my life, period, is that God formed me for His family. Remember what the first purpose is? You and I are created by God to receive God's love and to love Him back. That's why God created us. That's what He said. He created us to love. And when He did that, that love that Christ has placed in us from Him, remember, we're saved because of who Jesus is and His love for us. We accept that love. Then He says, I want you to belong, but I want you to belong to Me, but I want you to belong together. Take My love and each individual personality, minister to those of like personalities. Thus we have the church. The second purpose of my life is that God formed me for His family. Listen to Ephesians 1:5. His unchanging plan, that means that before time began, the plan was laid out, and it's unchanging, has always been to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. So from the beginning, again, it bothers me when I listen to teachers and preachers or professors, whatever you want to call them, when they say, well, God really didn't know how you was going to turn out. Or God doesn't really, oh, there's a big movement now, and God doesn't know everything. He doesn't know everything. Folks, if the God you're worshiping, you see Him as not knowing everything, you got the wrong God. Amen. The Creator of all that exists obviously knows everything. To create means to make from nothing. That was an English. That was Kentucky. Nothing, wasn't it? Well, that's okay. From nothing, or for Randy Kidder, from nothing. The nothing means the same thing, Kidder. Okay, God's family is called the church, right? We're called the church. Okay, let's listen. 1 Timothy 3:14-15. I am writing to you so that you will know how to live in the family of God. The family is the church. The space I gave to you free between the C and the H. It is the church of the living God, the support and foundation of the truth. Now, let me read that again. I am writing to you so that you will know how to live in the family of God. That family is the church of the living God, the support and the foundation of the truth. The church is the truth of Christ. Folks, when the church ceases to promote or to preach or to teach the truth of Jesus Christ, we cease to be the church. Our function is to support one another, but also of the living God, who is the living God, the support and the foundation of the truth. Jesus Christ is the support of the church. He's the foundation of the church, and He is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life. I am also called to belong to His church. God's family is called the church. I am called to belong to His church. Ephesians 2:19. So now you are no longer visitors or strangers. Now you are citizens together with God's holy people. You belong to God's family. We belong. I'm not just not a member of. I belong to God's family. I belong to God. I've been bought and paid for by the blood of His Son. I belong to God. You belong to God as a Christian. Now, I belong to God along with others in God's family. But we Christians in this particular generation are having a very, very difficult time understanding that, folks, I as an individual Christian, yes, I belong, but I cannot put down another Christian for wherever they are, whatever Christian denomination, that Christian also belongs. The denomination in the Christian realm has nothing to do with it. What that does, the denomination focus has more to do with the true functioning of a church, whether it's methodology with the Methodists or Presbyterians. I get in trouble on this, but with the Presbyterians, predestination, they're already there, you know, and all of this. But you and I are brothers and sisters with all the other denominations. Now, here's something else that a lot of folk have missed, or I was never taught this growing up, and very afraid of ever saying it on the Apostles' Creed, that I believe in the Holy Catholic Church. Well, as a Marine, you know, and going to chapel, you go over the Apostles' Creed, and I'm a Baptist. I'm not going to say that. And then, you know, I end up realize that Catholic means the universal church. That's the church of God. It's the universal church of God. I kept thinking, I guess it was Roman Catholic Church, but it's the Holy Catholic Church. And, you know, as a kid who was raised in people say, is that Southern Baptist? I don't have any idea what kind of Baptist we were. I think they belong to the Southern Baptist Convention. But ever the church down in Greene County, you could go from one end of a river to another end of a river in Greene County, and there was a lot of different kinds of preaching going on, but all about the same Jesus. So I don't remember ever thinking about what type of Baptist I am. You know, what if we started paying more attention about what kind of a Christian we are than what kind of a denomination member that we are? Romans 1 verse 6, you are among those who have been called to belong to Jesus Christ. Now here again, you got to remember that these are scriptures that you have groups right now, and let me give you all a warning on one, and I'm sure this might bother some, but it is a IHOP movement. I believe that began in 1999, International House of Prayer, and it is a group that deals with just love, but it seems to be more of I support you, I love you, therefore I will lift you up and I will give you love, and then you love me back. But don't hear Jesus in a lot of it. I don't know whether you all have looked at it or even knew that that exists, but it began in 1999, and you have to be careful with groups that start up, and they start up as groups outside the body of Christ. And it sounds good. And frankly, people who do read their Bible in this generation, you know, but what gets us in more trouble as a church or as a Christian is that we think the person who is speaking or something knows more about Scripture than we do. And man, don't ever think that. Don't ever believe that. Okay, you are among the... Now remember, the Greek word for church means the called out. That's the meaning of church, the called out, not the setting in, right? The called out, that's what it means. Okay, five Bible metaphors. You ready for them? In God's family, I learn my true identity. Ephesians 2:19, you are members of God's very own family, and you belong in God's household with every other Christian. Once again, does that not deal with attendance? Does that not deal with coming together? How many Christians have you heard, well, I'm just not going to go because when I was a kid and we were out on a playground, so-and-so over there hurt my feelings. And she goes to that church and I ain't going. Okay, Hebrews 2:11. Jesus and the people he makes holy. You getting that? You don't make yourself holy. You don't become holy. Remember again, the holy, the meaning of holy is set aside for God's service. Set aside for God's service. So, Jesus and the people he makes holy all belong to the same family. That is why he isn't ashamed to call them his brothers and sisters. Isn't it interesting that the scripture tells us Jesus will never be ashamed to call us brothers and sisters? And yet, so often the church members are ashamed to be recognized as belonging to Christ. Or you would have the member that would come out, the one that wore the Vine Grove Baptist Church t-shirt to the gambling boat. But you know, the others that would welcome them in. I don't know, draw them on. You know, after thinking about that, I always wondered what that gentleman who was telling me about that, you know, foolishly, I never ask. How do you know what she was wearing at that boat? Anyway, let's get back on that. We all belong to the same family. We're the brothers and sisters together. Now, do we squabble and sometimes we get aggravated with each other? Yes. But when you're brothers and sisters in Christ, that's your real family. Biological makeup does not make you a brother or a sister in Christ. Has nothing to do with that. Second, in Christ's body, I discover my unique value. Being a part of the body of Christ, this is understanding how that our calling is unique just for us. I discover my unique value. Romans 12:4-5. Just as there are many parts to our bodies, so it is with Christ's body. We are all parts of it, and it takes every one of us to make it complete. For we each have different work to do. So we belong to each other, and each of us needs all the others. You see, that understanding the scripture and what God says, how we need one another, that should curtail a whole lot of the foolishness that goes on in churches today. Good gracious, just had another church a month ago out of E-Town split. And I mean, we're gonna be just like Walgreens or what is CVS, the other one. We're gonna have a church on every corner. Romans 12:4-5. Okay, we're all parts. 1 Corinthians 12:15-16. If your foot says, "I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand," that doesn't make it any less a part of the body. And if your ear says, "I'm not part of the body because I'm only an ear and not an eye," would that make it any less a part of the body? And you're listening to folk and they say, "Well, no, I can't do that." Folks, what you and I can do in church is exactly what God has called us to do. Not everybody is called to preach. Not everybody is called to teach. But everybody is called. Everybody is called. And I've listened to the statements of folk and said, "Well, you know, I hear you preach that, and I've heard it my whole life, that God has a purpose for me, and I have yet to know what that purpose is." Well, go back and read Moses. 80 years old, and God says, "Now, Moses, I'm ready to use you." And Moses, you know, "Lord, you got the wrong man on this one. Do you know how old I am?" What about Abraham? And Sarah? I mean, think of this. It's in God's time. you and I then, as we're waiting for whatever time it is, what do? We study and we get prepared so that when the time is right for our ministry to flourish for Christ, we will be prepared. A workman that does not need to be ashamed. Ephesians 4:25. In Christ's body, we're all connected to each other. So it is because of who Christ is that makes us brothers and sisters. Number three, in God's temple, I'm supported by others. Ephesians 2:21, 22. In Christ, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. Our bodies happen to be the temple of God, His dwelling place on earth, not the building. Well, what makes this building holy or set apart to God for God's service? It's when the body of Christ, the church, us, when we unite together, that's what makes it holy. Without the Spirit of Christ in the individuals that make up that particular fellowship or body of Christ, the building itself is not a holy building, folks. It's made of wood and stone. That doesn't make it holy. What makes it holy is the presence of God. Now, people say, yes, but it's dedicated to God. Yes, it is. But it's dedicated to God by God's people who come in and bring it alive. You never heard, had anybody ever had the church talk to them? Well, I did that time, yeah. Randy and I and Webster and the rest of us, we know how spooky this place gets at night. So, well, you come up here after dark, and what happened with me was I heard somebody talking. And I knew, and they were in the church, the lights were off, and I'm going around. And as I'm walking down the hall, I'm saying, well, you might as well come out because I'm coming. Hoping through all of that they wouldn't come out. But, saying that, and then I get around the corner. It's the broadcast Webster has in his office. That was me preaching, I heard, coming over that. So,
that was scary, too.
Yeah, scary, anyhow, yeah. That preaching of man really gets spooky a lot of times, I'm telling you. All right, Romans 1:12. I want us to help each other with the faith we have. Okay, you got that? What do people say? Well, you know, as soon as I learn and get more faith, then I will help. Well, what does God's word say? I want us to help each other with the faith we have. Your faith will help me, and my faith will help you. That's how it's supposed to work. And that's through love as the family of God. In God's flock, this is number four, I'm protected and I'm cared for. 1 Peter 5:2, take care of God's flock, His people, that you are responsible for. Now that's to all the pastors, that's to all the preachers. You better take care of what He said, though. Take care of God's flock, His people, that you are responsible for. The congregation, all of us, are the people of God. We're His family. The pastor is assigned a responsibility. The greatest of those responsibilities that we are given by God to watch over them happens to be you watching over them with the truth of God, not misleading the congregation. You don't give them poison, nor do you allow poison to come into the flock. The wolves are not allowed. They must be stopped at the door. Anyone who would do harm, okay, who's responsible? For this flock, I am. Well, and I take that literally, and I take it spiritually and all. And that's why when I know that it's too icy out there, I say, we ain't having church tonight. Because the responsibility is going to come back on the pastor when somebody gets hurt. And it'd break my heart. Well, wouldn't hurt if Randy was messed up a little, but it would break my heart to see that. Galatians 6, verse 2. Share each other's troubles and problems. Well, we do. Now, I tell us not to gossip about them, though. Go ahead and share each other's troubles and problems. Just don't share it with everybody outside of the one you're talking to. And in this way, obey the law of Christ. Okay, you got a problem? Look for another member. You know that other members went through the same situation, no matter what it is. And then those two members can get together and say, this happened to me. How did you deal with this? I mean, that's counseling is what it really is. And we are all counselors for one another. Do we not, as parents, do we not warn our children and tell our children, don't do this, don't do that? The reason we do, we did this and we did that, and we know it's going to harm them. So therefore, because of our love, we do everything we can to protect them from themselves. We protect our kids or protect them from the gene pool that we know we were a part of. So the protection is there. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. I don't know why this one is so hard, but it seems to be in churches. Encourage each other and give each other strength. Very difficult in our generation. Most people will speak discouraging words to others, especially if they're angry with them. And we are to encourage each other. When do you do that? When you have a brother or sister that's down and the problems are there and you see them hurting, what do we do? We're supposed to be there and help with the hurt. Here's something I learned in some outlines I was writing, that what we need to understand, that God is in the hurt. God is there in that hurt that we're going through. He's not going to leave us or forsake us, so therefore he's there, and he's watching to see how we deal with the hurt of life. Why we're going through this on earth in preparation for the world to come, I have no idea. But we do know through Scripture that everything that's working on us is for a purpose. And many people say, well, you know, I guess when I get ready to lay down and go to meet the Lord, that I'll know the purpose. No, I don't believe that. I believe that we will know in heaven, but it's so far over our head right now that we just said, Lord, have mercy, and thankful that he does. The last one, number 5, in God's garden, my life becomes productive, the church. In the church, my life becomes productive. Once again, sadly, many people say they don't need the church. Christ died for the church. We need the fellowship in the church. We need the truth within the church. And John 15:4, verses 4 and 5. A branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. Severed from the vine. Thank you. Severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful apart from me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. You cannot get so holy that you don't need God. You cannot, preachers cannot have such a calling to preach the gospel to the point to where they back away from the gospel of Christ and preach their own gospel. The good news, the gospel, comes in the book called the Bible. You and I understand it from the Holy Spirit that book called the Bible tells us is going to come in us. I'm a Christian because I know Christ. I can't explain that to people. I can't explain to people how I feel. I know what I feel, but I don't know how to get the point across to others. Sometimes people will look at you like you have really lost it. Or like my partner did when I was called to preach and I was in business and got a call and said, I don't know. Larry said he got a call to preach and I didn't even hear the phone ring. A good friend of mine, and laugh about that to this day. Well, because the call wasn't for him. It was for me. And he didn't hear it ring.